On episode 189 of the 40 Plus Fitness Podcast, we meet with Kathleen Trotter and discuss her book, Finding Your Fit. You can find the full show notes for this episode at 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/189. Have you decided you're ready to make a change? To reclaim your health and fitness? The 40 Plus Fitness Podcast is here for you. I'm your host, Alan Meisner. I'm an NSAM certified personal trainer with a specialization in corrective exercise and fitness nutrition. Let me be your coach as you find your way on your health and fitness journey. All right, let's go. Now, I know you've heard me talk to a lot of authors about their books, and I do connect with a lot of the authors. I really do resonate with their message, but I don't know that I've really resonated with the message of any author as much as I have with Kathleen Trotter. She wrote the book that I wish I had written. I mean, I really did enjoy her book. I do think it's a good resource. And so let me tell you a little bit about Kathleen. She's a personal trainer and Pilates specialist, and she's been doing that for 15 years. She makes regular TV and media appearances, writes for publications including the Globe and Mail, the Huffington Post, and she does blog. So this is someone who knows what they're talking about and is out there sharing their message. And this is really a great book, Finding Your Fit. So I do hope you enjoy this conversation with Kathleen. And with no further ado, here's Kathleen Trotter. So Kathleen, welcome to 40 Plus Fitness.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's my favorite topic. I love health and wellness. So anytime I get to talk about it.
I do too. That's why I have this podcast 3 times a week. So I get to have a lot of good conversations. And I really enjoyed receiving your book, Finding Your Fit. And some of the things that I really liked about it, and it's just kind of my mindset, is when someone lays something out in a practical way and says, okay, here's some strategies and here's some steps. And it's just something all of us can kind of relate to our own lifestyle and say, you know, I can do that. And then I can, once I've done that step, then I see where the natural progression is for me to do this next step. And so I really like the practicality of your book and what it brings.
Well, thank you. I love when you say your own lifestyle. And that's the key sort of main takeaway of the book, is that to be successful long-term with health and fitness, you need to find your unique recipe for success. You need to stop caring what, you know, what your mother's doing, what your father's doing, what your kids are doing, your best friend, and figure out what works for you, because ultimately it's your life. So what works for anybody else doesn't, it's kind of a moot point.
And I like this statement you made in the book, is like when you're thinking about staying at home and not going to the gym, and you want them to hear your voice saying, stop worrying about looking fit. It's not useful. Instead, care about becoming fit and energized. Fitness and health involve a lifelong learning process, not an end result. Don't let the fear of going to the gym sap your will to exercise. And I really like that.
Oh, thank you. And you know, it's just amazing how so many of us fall into that pattern. It's like, oh, well, I don't look the part, or I'm not fit yet, or I'm scared. And the thing is that it's about the process of going through it. And eventually, if you do it enough times, you'll have that kinesthetic memory that it actually feels really good. But at the beginning, there's a bunch of hurdles that you sort of have to just make yourself get over a little bit.
Yeah. And I think there's a thing that kind of happens, a wiring in your brain, when you are kind of surrounding yourself with this whole fitness and health mindset. So, you know, we're listening to a podcast now. You know, I read a lot of books, obviously, many, so I can talk to authors like yourself. And I think the more I kind of put this stuff in my head, the more I'm around a gym culture, it just kind of feeds me to want to do a little bit more for myself.
Absolutely. You know, it's one of the chapters in the book is all about creating a health entourage. And that sort of feeds into what you're saying, is surrounding yourself with like-minded people and people who are going to be supportive of your health quest. So I say to people, you know, get a health buddy. The more ways you can motivate yourself to work out, the better. So that could be, you know, a friend that you work with at lunch, or somebody you meet at the gym, or if you don't have somebody that you can actually physically meet with in person, a great way to hold yourself accountable is to get what I call an accountability buddy. So, you know, somebody that you email with every week and you say, these are my goals, what are your goals? Or, you know, even make it fun, make it a community-based thing. Get your daughter, get your mother, get your boyfriend, your father, whatever, together on a Sunday afternoon and cook a bunch of really healthy food and then share it. So you take half of it home and they take half of it home, or meet a friend at, you know, a local farmer's market and walk around. So that gives you your steps, but you're also making, you know, health and wellness more accessible, more part of your life, and just more fun. You know, I try to really instill in my clients that working out and health, it's not the opposite of work and life. It's not what you do when you're done everything else. It's an integral part of everything else. And fun and joy and health, it allows you to do everything else to the best of your ability. So it's about finding what I call your exercise bliss. So finding things that kind of pull you towards them without you having to sort of actively push yourself always, you know, and sometimes you're going to have to push yourself to get to the gym, of course. But if it's an activity you like going for a walk with a friend, or maybe the activity you don't love, but you like the person you're meeting, you're just going to be so much more likely to do it over the long term and do it for the rest of your life.
Absolutely. And so in the book, you start out with a set of 7 strategies to set yourself up for health success. And I think this is just so important for folks to kind of look and say there's a front start to this. And if I do a few things right on the very front end, it kind of makes it just a little bit easier to stick with this, a little bit easier to make things happen. And so would you mind sharing your 7 strategies?
Yeah, of course. I'll first just sort of say, you know, the thing is that health and wellness, it's an active process, which is what are these 7 steps are meant to help you with your active process. I think so many people, they wake up and they're like, okay, tomorrow I'll be fit. And they sort of magically think it's going to happen. But, you know, we're all adults. And so we're the masters of our own health and our own happiness and our own future. So these steps sort of help you take your wish, as we'll talk about later, and create a reality. But I think before you can even start the strategies, you have to sort of wrap your head around that it is an active process. It doesn't just happen. And like anything, if you wanted to get a promotion at work, or you wanted to, you know, start a family or anything, you have to set yourself up for success, or you're kind of setting yourself up for failure. And none of us need to feel like you're failing yet again, right? So much of health is feelings of failure, which is not what I want for my clients or for anybody. You know, I started this quest because I was a very unhealthy and unfit teenager. And I had to push myself to get out of bed every day, let alone get to the gym. You know, I was depressed, I was tired, I was lethargic. And through this health process, I now wake up and I'm excited for life and I'm excited to move. And I view the ability to move as a privilege, but it didn't just happen. You know, I've been doing this for 15 years and I actively work at setting myself up for success. So that's, you know, definitely a main takeaway from the book. So 7 strategies. Basically, the first one is to stop aiming for perfection. I think we get caught in this a lot. It's like, okay, well, I need to do the perfect workout, or I need to look the perfect part before I can get to the gym. Or if I don't, you know, do my full hour long workout, what's the point? And really, something is always better than nothing. So if you can't get to the gym for an hour, do half an hour of a workout at home. You know, if you get caught in a meeting at work and you can't get to the gym after work because you got to go pick up your kids, then go pick up your kids and then say to them, like, you know, let's go for a bike ride, or let's play a sport. Or, you know, it's just about saying, okay, movement is non-negotiable in my life. And it's not about perfection. It's about the process of adopting this healthy lifestyle. And then how do I go from there? It's getting rid of the sort of all or nothing approach to health, which again, sort of feeds into the other strategies. Number 2, just being this idea that convenience and consistency for working out is key. So I tell my clients, okay, think about the 2 C's, convenient and consistent. Because in order to reach a health goal, you need to do it on a consistent basis. You can't say, you know, I'm going to work out once a month for 2 hours, but I want to lose 20 pounds doing that, right? Or I want to run a marathon doing that. So it's about finding ways that you can do things on a daily basis. You know, so let's say you want to work out at home, or as I said, you make it convenient by going to the gym in your building at work, or finding somebody at work that you could walk with. Or maybe you say, you know, right now getting to the gym is not realistic, but I'm going to get myself a Fitbit and I'm going to track my steps every day. So it's just saying, okay, how do I make this something that can fit into my life long term so I can do it consistently?
I'm that weirdo that I pay for 2 different memberships. And so one of them is an Anytime Fitness that's here near my home. And so I have those are all over the country. So I can drop into those at any time. And then I have a membership at a gym that's close to my office. So, and then I, you know, I ask my family members for workout equipment for Christmas and things like that. So I have now my own little home gym that's set up. So I have all this gym around me all the time. And what I find is now, you know, there's very little excuse for me to say, you know, today's not a good gym day. Yeah, I missed a meeting. Or I mean, I had a meeting I had to go to, so I didn't get to go while I was here. But when I get home, there's equipment there. Or when I go, you know, just 5 minutes away from my house, there's a gym there. And so just taking that time and saying, you know, I have these things around me, just makes it so much easier for me to say, okay, I'm going to do it because it's there.
I love it. I love that. Well, it's sort of, I talk about that's your wide net for success. You know, you're catching anything and everything as you can. You have a gym at home, you have a gym at work. I remember now I have my own studio. So I can work out at home. But when I used to train at a studio and then I worked, so my work at my home was maybe 20 minutes run home and maybe a half an hour subway ride home. And on days that I knew I wasn't going to be able to work out, I would just bring my exercise clothes to the studio. And then instead of taking the subway home, I'd run home and then add on like an extra 10 minutes. And I used to just say to myself when I didn't want to train, I was like too tired or whatever, I'd say, Kathleen, you will get home faster if you run, or at least in the same equivalent amount of time. And you will feel better about yourself if you have run home. So yeah, it may not have been, you know, an hour of weights and 45 minute run, but it was something and it made me feel so much better. I got home and I was like, oh, okay, I killed this day. This is great. You know? So yeah. In the book, I sort of go through some pieces of equipment that it would be easy for you to have at home to make your workouts more consistent. So there's things like a resistance band and a stability ball and a foam roller. So it's just easy, inexpensive ways that you can set up your home gym. But, you know, some people don't want to work out at home. That's not consistent. Wouldn't allow them to be consistent because they'd be super bored. And so you have to sort of know yourself. And if you know you're going to be bored, then you find something else that you can be consistent with, which sort of leads me into strategy number 3, which is about finding your exercise bliss. And that is basically finding things that you don't despise and hopefully eventually things that you love. So for me, it's running. I love running, especially in the country. You know, if I've had a bad day, I always say to myself, the worse my mood, the worse my day, the more important my workout. And I will just put on my headphones and I just go. And it's like, you know, I come back from my run, I'm automatically 10 times in a better mood than I was before. So, but you know, for example, my mom, I remember dragging her once to a spin class that I was teaching and we got off the bikes at the end and she looked at me and she's like, Kathleen, I may love you more than anything, but if you ever take me to another spin class, like she was so she hates it. So that's for her. She likes yoga and gardening and walking. And so for me to be like, mom, you got to do spin 5 times a week. She would like think I would be crazy and she wouldn't do it. So the benefits of spin are totally moot. Like if you're not going to do it, it doesn't matter how good the exercise is, right? You got to find things that you can do consistently.
Yeah. The only time I think that an exercise that you may not enjoy that much could still be something that you could learn to like or learn to accept is, let's say you want to be good at tennis. And so obviously you can get better at tennis by playing tennis and you'll really enjoy that exercise. But you may also find that if you start working on your leg strength, that you now have a stronger backhand.
Absolutely. Yes.
You know, maybe you don't want to go in the gym and work your legs, but just understanding that doing a little bit of strength training is going to give you not only the ability to play better, but probably play longer and older, is that, you know, you may not like the workout, but understanding that that workout is improving the thing that you love and giving you more joy when you play it. I think that's kind of one of the things where you can wrap your head around how bliss builds into these other modalities of work that you, again, you might not enjoy as much, but can become a part of who you are as a basis of being better at what you love.
So I don't know if you're just perfectly setting me up, but the next strategy is finding your why, which is really what you're talking about. Because I'm not saying that every single exercise you do has to be your bliss. You know, I even say in the book, it's maybe just about finding things you don't despise, but I do think that something about it has to be something about your bliss. So it could just be that doing stretching is going to allow you to get down and off the ground and play with your grandkids. And that's your bliss, is playing with your grandkids. Or it could be, as you said, tennis is your bliss. For me, I do triathlons and I'm never a very good cyclist. So over the last couple of years, I bought myself a CompuTrainer and I've made myself cycle every winter. Even though I don't love it as much as running, what I know is that if I run 7 days a week, I'm going to hurt myself and I'll never actually be the best triathlete I can be because I will suck at one of the three sports. So for me, getting on that bike allows me to be better at my bliss and it also makes me feel like I'm really sort of accomplishing something as well. So anyway, I think what you just said is perfect. And I think everybody needs to sort of also understand that often with exercise, you'll start with a more external reason. So it might be that your doctor told you that you needed to for your health. And so your bliss is just that you're working towards better health. But after training for enough months, hopefully the actual exercise itself becomes enjoyable. So then your motivation is more intrinsic. Then it's like, well, I'm feeling better when I've done it. It's not just that I will be healthier. So there's, you know, it's multifaceted in that way to what your bliss means to you. So last two strategies, and again, or last three strategies, one of them is actually, again, connected to what you were talking about, and that's finding your inner athlete. And again, I'm not sort of suggesting that everybody who works out needs to work out because they want to be better at tennis, although that would be great because tennis is good for your brain. It's good for your flexibility. It's good for hand-eye coordination. It's everything. But it's that idea that you're doing something to work towards something else. So progressing. So having long and short-term goals is something that an athlete does. So maybe you go to the gym because your long-term goal is, as I said, to be able to get down and play dolls with your grandkids, right? And you need to be able to get down on the ground. Or one of my clients, when she started with me, she said, okay, one of my goals is to be able to sit cross-legged on the floor. So other people will come in and say their goal is to be able to easily reach dishes from the, like, underneath their sink, you know, to bend down and pick stuff up off the ground. So it's whatever is going to be your reason. It could be that you want to be able to do 25 pull-ups or 100 push-ups or whatever it is, but having goals is an integral part of working out. And that's sort of connecting to finding that inner reason to do something. And number five is just to flip your negative thoughts. And that's sort of going from, I don't want to train, to how lucky I am that I get to train. And I think I talk about in the book, I have a very good friend of mine, and he, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, he was very sick. He had a very rare blood disease, and he's a hockey player. And I watched him in the hospital, and all he wanted to do was to be able to get up and move and play. And now, luckily, he's better now, and that's great. But watching him in the hospital made me think, how dare I ever say to myself, oh, I don't want to go for a run. Running and moving and being able to move my body, that's a huge privilege. So I'm a really believer, big believer in self-talk. And so if I ever feel, you know, too tired to do a run or too tired to lift weights, I'll say, Kathleen, moving is a privilege. Being able to run is a privilege. You get out the door and you go for a run. And or if you don't want to run, you do some weights, because another sort of Kathleenism I always say is you have to get in shape to run. You can't run to get in shape because it's such a hard movement on your body. But basically, I just sort of tell myself to get over myself. And so many people would kill to be able to move the way that I do. And it's ridiculous for me to sort of feel sorry for myself because I feel like I have to do a workout. And then just the final strategy is just this idea of mindfulness and preparation equals success. So like anything you would do in life, you can't just wake up and think that it's going to magically happen. And you have to become mindful. So if you want to lose weight, for example, one of the things you have to do is be mindful of what you're putting in your body. So you can't just swipe almonds from your coworker's desk every 5 minutes and then be totally mindless that you know, just ate 700 calories of almonds. Almonds may be healthy, but that many of them are not. You know, you can't sort of be mindless about the fact that you come home every night and sit on the sofa for hours. You know, if you want to watch TV, great. I'm a big believer in relaxation, but, you know, maybe do it for half an hour after you've gone and done a walk, right? Or at least put your TV in front of a bike and then do some stationary bicycling while you watch TV, or get your family and say, instead of watching TV all night, we're going to go for a walk or play a sport. Or, but it's just pairing. So looking at your week in advance and saying, when am I going to work out this week? How am I going to have healthy food? And all of those things together really sets yourself up for success.
Absolutely. And I'm a big proponent of planning and scheduling and kind of knowing how all this is going to fit, because we get busy, you know, life is busy. And if you let it, you know, it's going to fill up every minute that you have. And if you don't prioritize something, it's not going to happen. So prioritizing your health and then making sure that it's, you know, it's on your schedule, you know, you're going to get it done. So for a lot of us, it's, I know once I go out the door to work, my schedule is now no longer my schedule. It's somebody else's. So I need to do my workout before I go to work, which means I have to wake up maybe a half an hour or an hour earlier, which means probably I go to bed an hour earlier. But I know that if I don't go do that work some mornings, it just becomes that much more difficult when my afternoons get busy, which is when I normally love to work out. I really prefer to work out about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, but I just know some work days that's just not going to happen because I don't own my schedule then. But I do own my schedule up until about 8 o'clock in the morning. So that's when I often try to go ahead and get that workout in, because I know it's just, that's when it's going to need to be.
I love what you said earlier about prioritizing working out and prioritizing yourself. And that sort of connects to this mindfulness, because I'm a really big believer when clients come in and they say to me, okay, Kathleen, I didn't have time to work out. And I say, no, rephrase that. You didn't prioritize working out. So if you decided to go, you know, to sleep in for half an hour, that's fine. But you have to own it. As you said, say, Kathleen, I decided that today I would rather sleep in for half an hour. And that's fine. If you know that that's what you're doing, if you're mindful that that's a choice that you're doing, then you can make a better choice the next day. Or, you know, if you decided to go to a party after work or something came up after work because you didn't work out in the morning, you have to say, well, I prioritize my sleep in the morning. So then I didn't have the opportunity to do it at night. And then I decided that that work party was more important than my workout, which again is fun, but it connects to being mindful. Because if you don't understand how you're using your time, you then can't figure out how you're going to prioritize your workout. So part of it is just looking at your week and being like, okay, what am I prioritizing now? And where are the gaps that I can create for being active?
Yeah. And I think part of that prioritization thing that comes up, and this is really kind of a big step. And I like that you've got this in the book because you have your six steps on this, but you compare and contrast goals versus wishes. And I think a lot of people look at health and fitness as in a wishing mindset of, I wish I were 30 pounds lighter. I wish, you know, I could run a 5K, instead of really making it a goal, a true goal. And I want you to go through the six steps, but if you could take just a second beforehand and kind of go through that whole goals versus wishes concept.
Well, I feel like you could write my book. You're brilliant. But it's just that so many people, when they walk in and I say, okay, what's your goal? And they say, well, I want to lose 30 pounds, or I want to, you know, I run a marathon. But it's almost like they were picked out of a hat and they weren't connected to their lifestyle and their realities. And, you know, I always say to people, you can do anything, but you can't do everything. And you have to figure out what is going to be your goal of the month and your goal of the year. And, you know, I try to take people through sort of long and short-term range goals. So what do you want to have within the year? What do you want to have within the month? What do you want to have within the week? And sort of create a new normal and then create a new normal after that. So it's about, I call it with my clients, trending positive. Like, you didn't create all of your unhealthy habits overnight. So they're not going to be new healthy habits tomorrow morning. And they're definitely not going to be new healthy habits if you don't figure out what your current habits are. So then you can tweak them. And being able to tweak your lifestyle involves these six steps. So the first one we've sort of already talked about, which is to stop using the I'm too busy excuse. So you may be too busy to get to the gym, but are you too busy to go for a walk? Are you too busy to, as I said, get a Fitbit and record your steps? Are you too busy to do some exercises at night before you go to bed? So, you know, there's lots of strategies that you can use to sort of fit exercise in when you are really too busy. Now, you know, for most people, I don't actually think they are too busy to fit in like a 20-minute workout even at home. But let's say you've decided right now you really are too busy for that, then you can find other ways. So, for example, I call it my piggyback strategy. So you find other current things that are non-negotiables in your life. So for example, let's say you always take your kids to their soccer games. Fantastic. Bring a yoga mat along. And while you watch them play soccer, do some lunges, do some squats, do some planks, right? Or if you always take your dog for a walk, go for it. But as opposed to a leisurely stroll, do some what I call fart-like intervals, which is random interval training. So you pick like a stop sign and you sprint towards that. So you basically take things you're already doing and you make them more active. And it's just with that idea of fitness being a non-negotiable. It's not, will I move today? It's, when will I? How will I? So it's getting over that. You're never too busy. It's what you decide to prioritize and how.
One of the ways I like to put it is, imagine that you have a meeting with your boss. Okay. So on the calendar, there's a meeting with your boss. So at 2 o'clock, you have a meeting with your boss. Are you going to not show to that meeting? And the answer is, well, of course I'm going to show up. You know, that's my boss. You're the boss of you. So if you set that appointment up and you put the same value on that meeting that you put on your job, that you put on it, because this is your health. This is your life. This is what your lifestyle is going to be.
Yeah, nothing's more important than your health.
Exactly. You're not going to be able to perform at work if you're not healthy. So you're not going to be able to perform for your family. So having it as a prioritization and putting it on a schedule and saying, this is a meeting with my boss. This is a meeting with me. And if I don't get this meeting done, then I'm firing myself. I'm not living to my full potential. So I need to be there, just like I would be there for my boss, or in my case, or your spouse. If you told your spouse you were going to be picking them up at the airport at 6 o'clock in the morning, guess where you're going to be? Sitting at the airport.
Exactly. No, I love that. And that's where the sort of goals, not wishes, come in, because the wishes are like, well, maybe I'll go pick up my spouse, but you don't actually look at your calendar and say, okay, I'm going to plug it in. I'm not going to book anything else around that. I'm going to make sure I go to bed earlier the night before. I'm going to set 4 alarms, not 1, right? So it's not just a sort of a faint hope. It's taking the steps to set yourself up. And I think part of that is a gradual progression. So I think a lot of people get really overwhelmed with fitness and health. And I think part of why they make wishes is they don't quite know where to start. So, you know, I will lose 20 pounds. Well, that entails a lot. That entails like changing your food, moving more, sleeping more, because sleep is so important with weight loss. So it's this idea of sort of saying, okay, this week, I'm going to prioritize maybe these three things. I'm going to walk daily for a minimum of 20 minutes. I'm going to have a minimum number of X servings of vegetables, and I'm going to get X number of hours of sleep. And then once you have those three goals, you figure out how you're going to do it. And then once you have those, then you can continually add on more goals as you go. But if you try to change everything all at once, it's so easy to be like, well, I can't do it, and I'm just going to stop. Right. So you want to, it sort of goes back to that setting yourself up for success. And just sort of, I sort of always tell people almost like the stock, like think of it like the stock market. You're going to have ups and downs, but hopefully you want in the end to have more healthy habits this month than you did last month. Like you might have little dips, that's unavoidable, but eventually you want to be trending in the positive direction. So as of, you know, February 2017, you want to have way more health habits than you do now in 2016.
Yeah, it's funny. One of the things I use with my long-term clients is what I call a good habits, bad habits, or healthy habits, bad healthy, non-healthy habits balance sheet. And so what I say is, you know, this week, pick a healthy habit that you want to add and maybe pick an unhealthy habit that you want to remove and then work on that. And then once you've done that, write that onto your balance sheet, you know, so on one side, you've got your healthy habits that you've added and you've got the unhealthy. And over time, as you just continually add to both columns, you start to see that just the total change that you've made in your lifestyle just by removing certain things and adding certain things. But you did it in those little, like you said, kind of the little steps, progression of saying, okay, this one, I'm going to drink more water this week and I'm going to avoid as much sugar. So I'm not going to put sugar in my coffee. And so that's this week, you know, you're doing that. And then the next week, maybe you're saying, okay, I'm going to work on my sleep, because now I'm not drinking as much coffee because I don't like it that way without the sugar. I'm drinking less coffee, so I want to sleep better now. I think I'm going to sleep better. So they're sleeping better, and that's your good habit. And maybe your bad habit is that you're not going out for the three beers or four beers on a Friday afternoon with your buddies after work. And so then again, that's a bad habit that you've removed, and you've got a good habit that you've added that week. And over time, you just start to see that progression as you've done those changes.
I love it. I sort of give my clients the image of a health bucket. So, you know, those small changes, as you said, like sleeping more, drinking more water, they're like little drops in your bucket that don't really seem like a lot at the time. They don't seem that important, but eventually your health bucket overflows and you wake up one morning and you're like, wow, I have more energy. I'm more mobile. I'm stronger. I can walk faster. And, you know, that's the idea of trending positive. And it just feels amazing. You know, I look at my own health journey and I didn't start 15 years ago with the idea that I would be the person I am today. I just started by going to the gym and walking on a treadmill. I couldn't run. There's no way I could run. And, you know, eventually walking turned into running, which turned into teaching fitness classes, which turned into lifting more weights, which turned into going and doing kinesiology at university, which gave me more knowledge, which helped me more people, which, you know, then I started doing triathlons. It's this wonderful, gradual, organic process, but it started with a few couple drops in my health bucket.
I like that concept.
Oh, thank you. So to go back to goals versus wishes, you know, step number three is just sort of what I've talked about, this long versus short-term goals and understanding that both short and long-term goals, you need to have the WWWH plan. So it's sort of where you're going to work out, when you're going to work out, what you're going to do, how you're going to fit it in. So, you know, I'll say to somebody, what exercise do you like? Let's say, and they say yoga, you know, and if they're a mother or father of four and getting to, you know, a 75-minute yoga class plus travel time, that's 2 hours. Maybe that's not convenient. So then I'll say, okay, well, maybe for the next month, you get a yoga DVD or a podcast and you do 20 minutes of yoga in your living room. So you're doing what you love, but it's realistic. Because the worst thing to do is be like, okay, I'm going to do yoga next week, 5 days a week. And then you don't go on Monday because you didn't put it in your schedule and figure out what was realistic. So then you're like, well, I might as well not do anything. I'm a failure. I should just stop, right? But if you set yourself up for success by figuring out that WWWH, then you will feel great on Monday because you will have done 20 minutes of yoga. And maybe by the end of the week, you'll say to your partner, listen, you know, this weekend, would you take the kids so I can go to a full yoga class? And he or she will say, great. And then you'll actually be able to do the full workout on the weekend. But by starting with those baby steps during the week, you gave yourself that positive domino effect forward. And then you're like, yes, I can do this. I can get on this health bandwagon. So step number four is just respecting your genetics and your realities of your life. You know, so if you just had a new child, this might not be the time to say you're going to work out 2 days or 2 hours every day. Or for example, if you look at me, I'm sort of tall and lanky and I have an endurance background. So, you know, I can do sprints according to my body, but I am never going to be doing a crazy, crazy fast 5K. Like I can do a fast K for me, but not fast for somebody who actually is genetically predisposed to have that as their starting point. So if I'm never going to look like Serena Williams, like I'm not going to have that power behind my tennis swing. So it's also just about, don't set yourself up for failure in that way either. Be like, okay, how can I be the best version of me that I can be? And what is the realities of my life? Which is sort of connected to number five, which is forming goals that are relevant and important to you. So is there a sport that you love? Do you want to be able to play a sport with your kids? Like I have one of my clients and she plays hockey 3 days a week. And one of the reasons that she trains with me is that she loves when her kids come and join her hockey game. And so she says to me, Kathleen, I got to stay fit enough that she has two daughters and a son and the three of them play hockey with her on Mondays. She's like, I can never not be able to play hockey with my kids, right? So we strength train and we strengthen her knees and her shoulders and her core for that reason. Really, she doesn't like strength training at all, but she loves spending Monday mornings with her kids.
And it's like with me, you know, I do tough mudders and things like that with my daughter. So yeah, my daughter's now 23 years old and I want to keep up with her. Well, she's a full-time fitness instructor with Iron Tribe. And, you know, it's kind of a CrossFit-y kind of thing, but a little bit better organization and method. So she does that. So she's now this ultra fit, you know, young person. And I'm not a young person anymore, but I want to be the athlete. I want out there with my daughter doing that thing. So yeah, I kind of, it's not so much a competitive thing because I'm not competing with her, but I don't want to be the one that slows her down if we're doing one of these things. I want to be someone who's right up there with her and the people, the young people that will come along with us. Because again, I enjoy that relationship that I have with my daughter that I wouldn't have if I didn't have the fitness level that I have today.
I love that image of you and your daughter. I think that sounds so wonderful. And I think that connects well to step number six, final one of the adopting goals, not wishes, is that you have to learn from yourself and learn from others. So, you know that you love that about your relationship with your daughter. So you know that you have to do strength training in order to be fit enough and strong enough to compete with her without getting injured. And I think a lot of people, what happens is they fall off the fitness horse. You know, they make a wish, not a goal. So they don't succeed. They fall off. You know, they say, okay, I'm going to work out 5 days a week. And then they don't. And then they don't take the time to sort of be like, okay, what did I do well? And why didn't my wishes come to fruition? And then you can, you know, learn from it. So I say to my clients, when you fall off the fitness horse, you get back on, but you get back on a more informed rider. So if you always miss your Wednesday workouts, well, why? How are you setting yourself up that Wednesdays is this crazy day? Is the workout that you want to do unrealistic, or are you letting work get in your way, or are you tired because it's like a hump day? So do you need a motivational kickstart? Do you need to have a friend that you meet every Wednesday because that just day is the worst day for you? You know, so it's figuring out what has worked so you can reproduce those things, and then figuring out what hasn't worked and why. And don't get discouraged and don't feel guilty when things don't work out, because that's not productive. But instead, learn from yourself and you say, okay, I made a less than ideal health choice. Why? You know, a lot of my clients, for example, make really bad choices when they let themselves get hangry because they don't carry like a snack in their purse. So they'll go to the grocery store hungry and they'll buy tons of junk food and then it's in their house. Or they'll be out doing errands and they'll let themselves get hungry. So they'll say, Kathleen, I had to buy that chocolate bar. I was starving. And I said, okay, so fine. You had the chocolate bar, you know, enjoy it, own that choice, but you didn't have to have anything. You just didn't set yourself up for success, right? So learn from that. Know that you need to carry around an apple and some almonds, or you need to carry around a hard boiled egg and some veggies in your purse. So the next time you get starving, you know that you have a snack. Or if a grocery store is nearby and you don't have a snack in your purse, you run to the grocery store and you buy, you know, some almonds and an apple there. But it's about sort of understanding your patterns and then learning from them.
Yeah. One of the things I did when I first wanted to get fit, you know, I'm like, okay, you know, I've let myself go. I'm not happy with where I am physically and with my life, you know, and I want to do something. So I said, okay, I'll buy this fitness thing. And it was the Insanity series. I'm sure you're familiar with it. And I get out there that, you know, first morning and gung ho. and I put the DVD in and it's the fit test. And so it's like, okay, push as hard as you can. And Shanti's really good about just really getting you motivated because he's just a very nice motivational guy. So, you know, he's pushed me, I'm pushing through this DVD and I, you know, not so happy with my score, but I'm like, I know I'll get better. And then the next morning I couldn't get out of bed. I actually had to call in sick to work.
Oh, seriously. Wow. What a great story.
And so I'm calling in sick to work and I'm like, well, okay, that didn't work. I can't do that. My body isn't who I was when I was 29 years old. I just treated it like it was. And I want to be that person again, but I'm not there yet. And so the lesson learning was, okay, I need to start with something a little less dynamic, a little less intense, and something probably not called insanity, and and then progress. And I say today, you know, I could probably do some of those workouts and not have the fundamental problem of not being able to get out of bed the next day because I've learned a lot more about my body. I've learned a lot more about recovery and realizing now being over 50, I have to look at things and do things a little bit differently. And that's a life lesson as you start really, you know, kind of training and learning and, you know, again, listening to podcasts and reading books, giving you this information that you can then kind of apply in these step-by-step growth things and taking those life lessons and building on them. So I really do appreciate these six steps to setting goals.
Well, my equivalent of that story is about food, but it's, you know, people probably would think that this isn't true, but it's totally, I love, love, love chocolate, especially fudge bars. So it took me years to realize that if I buy a box of fudgicles, I will literally eat all six of them in one day, probably in like 2 hours. But I believe in also giving yourself treats and living life, you know, everything in moderation. So for years, I would be like, no, I'm just going to have the dedication. I'm going to buy the box. I'm just going to have one every 3 days and that's fine. And I would continually mess up. And I was getting so discouraged with myself. I was like, how do I not have this discipline? I'm a personal trainer. I'm like fit. And then I was like, no, Kathleen, you're not learning from your experiences. You're not setting yourself up for success. So now what I do is I don't bring fudgicles into my house. I can have other things in my house that I don't love, but I love these bars. There's a particular brand that I just love. But I bring them over to my mom's and I leave them there. And then in the summer, if I want a fudgicle, I'll run over or I'll go and hang out with her. And then it's like a chance to see her, but I'm never going to eat six fudge bars in front of my mother. I'm just not. So I get a bar and I have maybe a bar once every 2 or 3 weeks. I get a visit with her. It's, you know, nice. We sit outside on the porch and it's beautiful weather. And then I leave feeling like I've had what I love, but that I also learned from that for me, it's unrealistic to have fudge bars in the house. Now for other people, you know, maybe their equivalent of fudge bars is candy cane ice cream or whatever, but I could have candy cane ice cream in my house for 5 million years and I wouldn't eat it. So, you know, it's about knowing what your personal triggers are and then kind of learning from that and then going forward and being proud of what you've learned, not discouraged and guilty by what you've done.
And I love that. Mine, I can tell you, is the Thin Mints with the Girl Scout cookies. And so that comes around February, you know, the Girl Scouts are out and I'm going to a grocery store, you know, they'll let them set up out there. And so as soon as I see the Girl Scouts are there, I just had a birthday because my birthday's in February as well. So I just keep it top of mind. You're a year older. You can't handle these. Just sprint into the store and then sprint out of the store. Don't make eye contact because they're too cute. And you know.
Yeah, exactly. That's great. I love it.
Yeah. So yeah, it's a Thin Mints. They're the kryptonite and I have to stay away from them. Which takes me to the next thing I wanted to kind of get into with the eating. And you have this WWHH of your eating habits. And I really want to kind of get into that because I really enjoyed that concept. So could you take a little bit of time to walk us through the WWHH?
Yeah. You know, it sort of connects back again to setting yourself up for success. It's about knowing why you eat, what you eat, how much you eat. You know, I think so many of us just think, well, to get healthy, I just have to get disciplined. Well, discipline is, you don't just find it on the side of the road. You create it. And so much of it is created by being mindful of who you are. And the thing about food is that it's so connected to your emotions. It's connected to your history, you know, with your family. You know, a lot of us, we eat out of, we're exhausted or we're really thirsty, but we think that we're hungry or we're tired or we're depressed or, you know, at childhood, we created certain patterns that we are reproducing or, you know, I always think of my grandmother whenever an Animal Bar comes out. So, and if you don't evaluate those triggers and the reasons why you eat, you could do 15 million diets and those triggers will just follow you. So it's not about picking the perfect diet. It's about figuring out you and your habits and then applying them to whatever you do in your life or whatever, however you decide to eat. So, you know, why you eat. Are you eating because you're sad? Did you get home and did you have a bad day? Or how do you eat? So are you eating while you're at a kitchen table? Like, are you preparing food for your family and you're nibbling all the time? Because that can add up to a lot of extra calories. Are you eating, grabbing sort of M&Ms from your coworker's desk? And again, are you eating off your kid's plate? That's a really big thing. People will tell me, oh, I didn't really eat dinner last night. I'm like, oh, okay. So what did your kids have? And they'll tell me, and then, oh, they'll start to think, oh yeah, I actually had like 4 or 5 bites of that. And then I had 5 or 6 bites of that. So it's not just sort of what you eat. You know, a lot of people think, well, it's about eating more vegetables. Yes, it absolutely is. But it's also about how much of that you're eating and how it all fits together and why you're eating it. So taking a moment, you know, I often tell people to use my 30-minute rule. So if you're, you know, after dinner, for example, if you're wanting a snack, so sort of say to yourself, okay, that's the snack I want, but am I actually hungry? And usually the answer is no. And I'll say, okay, so get involved in something else and say to yourself, I can have that snack in 30 minutes once I've done whatever goal chore you want to do, or once you've gone for a walk, or once you've done the laundry or whatever. And normally you get so engrossed in the other stuff that you sort of forget that you wanted that snack, because the snacking is often because of boredom or because of, as I said, you know, you're sad or you're trying to take your mind off of something. So if you're working through an emotion, instead of eating, actually work through it. Journal about why you're sad. If you're bored, use the 30-minute rule. Get involved in something else. If you're, you know, really actually thirsty, drink some water. This used to happen to me a lot when I was training for my Ironmans, is that actually I was just dehydrated and I would always think I was starving. And then once I realized I just wasn't drinking enough water, I felt much more satisfied more often.
Yeah. One of the things when I'm actually working one-on-one with a client and food is kind of one of their problems, I will tell them, okay, here's what I want you to do for a week. I want you to take a picture of everything that you're about to eat and then send that picture to me. And they tell me, it's like when they sit down to take the picture, suddenly they're really concerned about what that is and how much it is, and really kind of turns on their brain to be a lot more mindful.
Yeah. It's the mindfulness. So many of us just have, you know, we underestimate the number of less than ideal choices we make and vastly overestimate the healthy choices we make. So we forget about, you know, the things that we grab off of our coworker's desk or the second helping that we had, or, you know, what you nibbled on during dinner. So I love that idea of taking a photo because it makes you take that moment of, oh yeah, I'm putting something in my mouth. I often just tell my clients, you know, no standing up eating, no mindless eating. Like, you are allowed 3 healthy square meals a day, but you have to be sitting and you have to be conscious of what you're eating and you have to enjoy that food. You can't be eating while you're walking out the door. You can't be eating while you're cooking for your family, right? Like, it's not, don't be doing anything else.
And better when they're eating is to be eating with people, because then there's some social aspects to it. The conversation, that's going to slow you down and allow you to understand that you're full much sooner than you may have been if you just sit at your desk and scarf the food down.
Absolutely. It's sort of connected to, I call it the Captain Obvious approach to health. And, you know, so many people want to find that sort of miracle diet, but really there's sort of pillars that you just need to stand on when it comes to food. And one of them is not eating mindlessly. And another one is staying hydrated and, you know, avoiding processed food, not keeping your food triggers in the house, like some me for fudgicles and you for your Girl Guide cookies, chewing your food, right? And no matter what happens, as you just said, stopping when you're full, right? So, and if you're eating with people, that can be very helpful because you get connected to the conversation. And so you don't scarf it down. Like, you take a moment. So then your body can actually be like, oh, I actually am full. Because if you eat in 3 seconds, you're still going to think you're hungry, but your food is just digesting.
So again, the book is Finding Your Fit. And I just want to thank you for having the opportunity to read it, because I really did enjoy the book. I think there's so much in this book to help someone as they're getting into this, because it's all the things I talk about here on the podcast. So I've just really, really enjoyed the book, the concepts that are in there, the steps, the strategies. We just scratched the surface. There's just so much in the book for folks, and I do hope they'll come out and get the book.
You said you're thanking me. I wanted to thank you. And honestly, you have given me, I've been taking notes during the interview on things that you've been saying, so they might come be in my next book. I very much enjoyed learning from you.
And I'll definitely want you back on the show then. If someone wanted to reach out to you to learn more or to get the book, where would you like for me to send them?
My website is kathleentrotter.com. Then I'm on social media as well. So Twitter is ktrotterfitness and Instagram is kathleentrotterfitness. But I love talking to readers. So through my website, they can email me and I would happily answer any question about health and fitness or just life anytime. This is my favorite topic.
Awesome. Well, this is going to be episode 189. So you can find the show notes for that at 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/189. Kathleen, again, thank you so much for being on 40 Plus Fitness. It's been wonderful. Thank you.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you.
So I really do hope that you enjoyed that conversation and took something valuable from it. And if you did, would you please share this episode with your friends and family? I want to get out there and help as many people as possible. And sharing the message with them, getting them onto the podcast, letting them know it's here as a resource for them to improve their health and fitness will do a lot to help them, and it'll do a lot to help the show. So thank you. Next time on the 40 Plus Fitness Podcast, I'm going to get back into a topic that's near and dear to my heart, ketosis. And I'm going to share some tips that I have for anyone that's looking to get into a ketosis diet. I'll be doing that myself in a couple weeks. So just kind of boning up a little bit. And I wanted to share some tips with you. So until then, have a happy and healthy day.